God, we give you thanks that we could be here on this evening, though things are getting crazier at school and at work and at life as the world keeps turning, no matter how much we want it to just pause and let us catch our breaths. Well, we pray that tonight is a time to do that, that tonight is a night where we can detach from all of those tasks that we need to be doing, from all the studying that needs to happen and papers that need to be graded and things that need to be done, and just to be able to pause that, to be able to be here fully with you, to be able to breathe your Holy Spirit in, to be able to be joy-filled in the presence of our brothers and sisters in Christ, to be able to feel your Holy Spirit refueling us and refreshing us for the week ahead because of who you are and because of what you are doing in this place, your house of worship, your sanctuary, your place to dwell with us. For we lift up all of this and all this time to you, our Holy Father. Amen. Ah, Mr. Hercules, what a sad story in so many ways. Hercules, born of Zeus, the son of the gods, but here Hades sees him as the possibility of foiling his plans and ruling the god world. And so he sends his two little minions to go down and make Hercules mortal. But the problem is, in the potion that he gives him in the bottle leaves just one drop in it, that leaves just one drop of God within Hercules as they leave him on Earth with his earthly parents that you saw in the clip that take him in, realizing there's something different about him and something not fully right about him, but raising him despite the ways that people see him and the struggles that they have with him as he wrestles with this mortality versus God that is within him. But as we saw in Going the Distance, at one point, Hercules needs to find out who he is. He knows there's something different about him, and he's got to find out who it is, and he realizes he needs to go to the Temple of Zeus to find out. So when he gets to the Temple of Zeus, what does he find out? But the statue of Zeus comes alive and says, "You're my son, but that potion that you took has separated you from us. The way that you can get back into our world is by one true act of heroism," right? I mean, isn't this like the classic movie plot right there? You know, one true act of love, one true act of heroism, one true act of courage, and it breaks the spell and it undoes everything, and then everything's right. And so Hercules goes on this mission with Mentor and with Pegasus, the horse, to help him out, and he begins saving the town with all of these great acts of heroism against what Hades is trying to do. And he thinks, because everybody's revering him and he's so awesome and wonderful and he's the true hero of the town, he goes back to Zeus thinking that this is going to get him back in with his family. And Zeus basically tells him, "Well, yeah, that's one kind of heroism, people being in awe of you, but that's not always the true act of heroism. You're not there yet." And can I give away the end of the movie? Has everybody seen this movie? As I keep explaining it. No. Are you ever going to see it, Claudia? Am I going to give it away? No. Okay. So at the end of the movie, Meg, who has fallen in love with him and won't admit that she's fallen in love with him, she is a whole nother sermon all in a ball right there, isn't she? But Meg ends up captured by Hades, who was trying to get her to work for him. And when she works against him, takes her captive, and Hercules' act of heroism is he's willing to give up his life to save the life of Meg. And that complete selfless nature of I put somebody else before me, breaks the potion, and Hercules is able to be immortal once again. So Hercules that wrestles between these worlds and has to figure out what it is to be a true hero. And so I use that to segue into our final story of Joseph, of what it really means to be a hero. And so last week as we left it, Joseph had finally made it out of prison into the pit, into slavery, into prison, and had gotten into Pharaoh's house by interpreting dreams for him, letting him know there's going to be 7 bountiful years, and then there's going to be 7 years of famine. So in those first 7 years, you got to store up to take care of those second 7 years. And so Pharaoh says, okay, I need somebody good to take care of this. All right, Joseph, you're hired, right? So this is where we leave the story, is Joseph storing up for those 7 years, putting all that grain into silos, preparing it to be able to take care of them for those next 7 years. Well, today we come in at that scene. And what's happened? But the famine has hit, and the famine has hit hard. And the famine has hit so hard, it's going outside of Egypt into surrounding areas, and it has made it all the way into Cana. Now, who's over there in Canaan but Joseph's brothers and mothers and father and family? And they start to feel this famine, and they start to feel desperate. And Jacob tells his sons, hey, you know, I hear that there is food for sale, that there's grain that you can get from Egypt. We need you to go trek over to Egypt and to go buy supplies for the family. Go buy food. He said, but on one condition, I'm only going to send 10 of you. I've already lost Joseph, and my heart is just broken over that, and I can't go through that again. And so you need to leave Benjamin behind. He's my baby. He's the youngest. He's Rachel's other son, which makes him the other favored son. You got to leave him behind because nothing could happen to him. I'm not sure how I could live if something happens. So the 10 of you, numbers 1 through 10, go to Egypt. Take the donkeys, take money with you, take the supplies you need for the trip, and go to Egypt. And so they head out, and when they get there, Joseph immediately recognizes them. Of course, they don't recognize Joseph. Most likely, he looks too Egyptian to have been their brother, and you got to realize at least 9 years have passed because it was 7 years of famine and 2 years in prison, and we're not sure how long before that. And so he immediately sees them, and his brain starts going, okay, what do I do in this situation? So he calls them spies. He accuses them of being spies, and he says, I'm going to throw you in prison. And he starts asking them questions. Well, where's your father? Do you have any other brothers? Just grilling into them and coming down on them about being these spies coming into Egypt. And he finally makes the deal with them. Okay, if one stays behind, I'll send the rest of you. And if you bring back your other brother, then I'll release the one captive brother. And so he binds up right in front of them Simeon. And he says, okay, he's my captive now. You guys head back. But I'll do you a favor. I'll send you each with a full sack of grain to be able to take care of your families. I won't leave you high and dry. Take your sacks of grain and go back and get your other brother. Now, one of the things he does is he tells his servants, okay, when you fill the sacks of grain, put their money back into it that they were supposed to pay for the grain with. Send them with what they need and with what they brought. And so they get back, and when they open the sacks of grain, they think they're in trouble. Hey, we didn't pay for our stuff. We're going to get even bigger in trouble with this guy that's already coming down on them. And they come back, and Jacob's just distraught. Where's Simeon? Where's Simeon? Where's Simeon? Well, all we have to do is bring back Benjamin, and he'll give us back Simeon. No, I don't trust you. I don't trust you. Nothing can happen to Benjamin. And he's like ready to write off Simeon to be able to save Benjamin's life. And so the brothers intercede. Please, Dad, please. You know, you've got our sons. You've got our kids here. We're not going to let anything happen to them. We promise you entrust us with Benjamin. We'll entrust you with our sons, and everything's going to be okay. And so finally, Jacob says, yes, okay, take Benjamin and go back. When they get back with Benjamin, Joseph releases Simeon with them and has his servants prepare a sacrificial meal for them to sit down. And so the interesting one, Joseph eats by himself, and then the Egyptians eat by themselves because Egyptians and Hebrews can't eat together, and then Joseph's brothers all eat together. And he tells them, okay, as they're going, they're going to be going back, all 10 of them now, fill their grain sacks again, put their money back in the grain sacks again. But now what I want you to do is take my silver cup and put it in the sack of the youngest sons. And then when they go off on their way, then I want you to chase after them and accuse the youngest brother of stealing it. And so they head out on their way with their sacks full of grain and their money back in it and the silver cup inside of Benjamin's bag. And just like they were told, the head servant heads out, And he says, one of you is stolen. How could you do this after all the generosity of our master, of the man in charge, the man we call Lord? How could you do this? No, we didn't do anything. We didn't do anything. And they search their bags, and they get to Benjamin's bag, and here's the silver cup. How could you steal? Look, it's right here. And so they drag Benjamin back, and Judah begins to plead for him. And at this point, Joseph can't take it anymore. And he sends all of the Egyptians out so that it's just him and his brothers. And he finally just breaks down. Everything of all those years, the brothers throwing him in the pit, the brothers selling him into slavery, all the time away from them, all that has just happened, and he just breaks down right there and begins to weep. It says in the scriptures, he wept so loud that in the other rooms the Egyptians could hear them. He says, I'm your brother Joseph. Look at me. Look at me in the eyes. I am your brother Joseph. And he basically tells them, brothers, the past is in the past. It's time to move forward. He right there and in that moment could have thought first about himself. He could have thought about being thrown in the pit. He could have thought about being sold into slavery. He could have thought about that time as a slave, that time in jail, having to be in this foreign country and away from his family. And all those hurts could have clouded everything that he did. And he, in that moment, could have had the ultimate revenge. He could have sent his brothers back and had them starve. And he probably could have justified it. You tried to kill me. Here, I'm going to do the same with you. Here, you can fend for yourself. Why should I do anything good for you after what you did to me? But the hero here, Joseph, puts himself second, and he puts his family first. At the heart of him is still the brother. At the heart of him is still the son, and he says, I'm going to take care of you. Go back and get our father. Go back and get your mothers. Go back and get your families. Go back and get your slaves and your donkeys and everything and bring them into Egypt. And I'm going to put them in the best land with you. And you will be well taken care of through this famine because you are my family. That can be pretty tough to do. I mean, the past was nothing that Joseph wanted it to be. The past could have hurt so bad that he wouldn't be able to see the future with those brothers. But all he saw were those possibilities. All he saw was the ability to be a family again. And he said, God had a plan for me. You see, I thought it so horrible that I had to be in that pit and in that slavery and in that prison. But now when I get to this point, I see that God had a plan for me, that God needed me to be right here at this moment with the power that I have so that I could feed our family and take care of it. And God is good for that. It made me think of a story. Not enough stories yet, right? Made me think of a story of a man that was in a shipwreck, okay? He was in a shipwreck, and he was the only one that survived. And he ended up on this deserted island, just him and a few possessions. And he screamed and yelled at God, you know, why did you land me on this island? Why did you desert me? Why did all of this have to happen? And we got done screaming at God. He lashed enough driftwood together to make himself a little shelter to protect himself and his stuff. And one day he was wandering the island. And when he came back to his stuff, what did he come back to find? But he found that his driftwood shelter and all his stuff was on fire. And here he started to yell and scream at God again. God, I am so angry with you. All I had were these few things. All I had was this little shelter. Why did you burn it down? Well, not long later, the ship came by and stopped and rescued him. When he got on board, he said, well, how did you know I was here? And they said, oh, by the smoke signals that you were sending. And he had to realize that it was God taking care of him when he thought it was God taking away from him, it was in God's plan to care for him. He just needed to see the whole plan. You see, Paul was similarly the same way. So many bad things happening to him, so many bad things happening to Joseph, and this man, this tough life that Hercules lived, ostracized from this community. But then we look at Paul, who says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. There's gonna be those rotten and trying times of life. There's gonna be the difficult situations. There's gonna be the times where it feels like everything that's important to us is just withering away. And how we deal with the situation and how we look on it. Whether we choose to get angry with God or get angry and seek revenge on the people around us, or whether we choose to look at the whole situation to be able to see that there might be a bigger plan, to see that there might be blessings mixed in with the sorrows, that there might be a reason we're going through what we're going through. That sometimes it means putting our anger to the side and being able to forgive. Sometimes it means sticking things through. Sometimes it means turning to God and relying on him and saying, I don't know that I can do this. I don't know that I have the strength, but I know that you do, and I need you to help me.